Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. Today, we take your questions on an Ask Me Anything episode. We talk about Alec Baldwin shooting somebody. We talk about a girl that's going to be arrested for taking the vaccine. We talk with her, actually, and so much more. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. I love answering your questions. We do this every single Monday, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to thank all of you that have supported us at charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Joanne from Littleton, Colorado. Thank you. Elizabeth from Nebraska. Thank you. Brittany from South Carolina. Thank you. Jennifer from California. Thank you. Jose from Chicago. Thank you. And Hugh from Tennessee. Thank you for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. We remain strong and we're able to grow. We're able to hire more staff. We're able to expand our team, able to get more researchers to give you two podcasts a day, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. We are the hardest working podcast out there. And if you guys want to support our show, it's charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. And check out America Fest at tpusa.com/AMFEST. That's tpusa.com/AmericaFest. tpusa.com/AMFEST. Turning Point USA's America Fest is going to be the most amazing event of the year. Check it out at tpusa.com/AMFEST. We have Tucker Carlson, Kayleigh McEnany, Senator Ted Cruz, Jesse Waters, Candace Owens, Jim Jordan, Donald Trump Jr., Madison Cawthorn, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Jack Posobiec, Benny Johnson, Sarah Palin, and more. Huge speakers yet to be announced at tpusa.com/AMFEST. Get your tickets today, everybody. It's going to be epic. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, Charlie, whatever happened to the investigation into the Clintons? Do you think they're ever going to go to jail? Thanks so much, Quinn from Virginia. It's interesting. Actually, Merrick Garland was asked about this, and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, who ran or run the Clinton crime family, you don't hear as much from them lately, except that Bill Clinton was hospitalized. And in addition to that, we all know the crimes that the Clinton family committed in Haiti. We know that they basically ran an international money-capturing scheme from foreign governments to sell access. And isn't it interesting how the Clinton Foundation stopped being so popular as soon as they got out of popular life and close to political power? I thought they were doing such wonderful work to cure river blindness and get young people in power. But as soon as they're no longer in political positions of authority, it's all the donations start to dry up. Well, Merrick Garland admits in Cut 87, the investigation into the Clintons is ongoing. Play Cut 87.
In September of 2020, press reports indicated that Special Counsel Durham's team was seeking information on the FBI's handling of the Clinton Foundation investigation. And can you commit to allowing the Special Counsel Durham's investigation to proceed?
You would know if he weren't continuing to do his work.
I'll take that as a confirmation that the investigation is continuing.
This Department of Justice is corrupted. It's in the midst of many different controversies. Merrick Garland has a lot of answers that he has to deliver, a lot of things he has to answer for in regards to his children and his son-in-law making millions of dollars off the critical race theory that he's trying to deploy shock troops off to try to prevent, and so much more. Let's get to the next question. It's about Thomas Jefferson, one of my favorite people. What are your thoughts on the New York Assembly's decision to remove the statue of Thomas Jefferson from their city council, the place it had its home since 1915? Is this the right decision to erase our founders like this? Of course not. And if you guys want to learn about our founding fathers, you guys should go to charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Who was Thomas Jefferson? Thomas Jefferson was one of the most incredible men ever to live in the history of the planet. He was a statesman. He was a president. He was a civilization changer. He's the author and was the author of the Declaration of Independence. Now, we must understand the beauty of the Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands with another, deriving from the powers of the earth the equal and separate station. I'm going from memory here, so I might be bouncing around. And it goes on to say the laws of nature and nature's God. Thomas Jefferson was able to connect the fruits of the Enlightenment and the roots of antiquity. Thomas Jefferson did that. Thomas Jefferson connected the fruits that came out of the ideas of freedom of speech and consciousness and self-government, separation of powers, checks and balances. But he did not go only and merely towards the Enlightenment, as if Machiavelli, what Machiavelli or Rousseau or Hume would have done. Jefferson instead struck a balance. Jefferson understood that there was a new type of thinking that was derived from the ancient, and that if we forget the ancient and go too far into this new way of government, it will collapse. But if we go too into the ancient, there's no claim to challenge the monarchy. Thomas Jefferson, being a brilliant man, wrote the words that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal amongst these, are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Originally, it was property. Now, the exact reason why they're getting rid of Thomas Jefferson, I don't know their exact reasons, because he owned slaves. Is that what it was? Do you know that Thomas Jefferson actually worked to abolish slavery when he was governor of Virginia in the 1790s? Do you know that Thomas Jefferson, heavily influenced by George Mason, who wrote the Virginia Declaration of Rights in 1776, argued for slavery to be ended? Do you know that Thomas Jefferson, who of course wrote the Declaration, inspired the first state to abolish slavery in 1777, Vermont? Did you know that Thomas Jefferson was partners with Ben Franklin for the first ever abolition convention held in 1775 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania? Did you know that Thomas Jefferson was the first president to sign a moratorium saying that no new slaves were allowed to come into the United States? Thomas Jefferson was a good man. So what do we lose when we get rid of Thomas Jefferson? We lose a lot. More than anything else, we lose the founding ideal, the promissory note that Frederick Douglass said existed for people of all colors, all backgrounds, all skin colors, all backgrounds, all ethnicities. There's an article on Barry Weiss's website by Samuel Goldman. Jefferson's far from the first statue to fall, and it sure won't be the last. But the plaster and bronze of which they're composed isn't the most important thing. What matters is the fate of the ideas and the Declaration in Jefferson's hand, the ones that Lincoln described as an abstract truth applicable to all men in all times, and a rebuke and a stumbling block to the very harbingers of reappearing tyranny and oppression. That's why they put his statue up. You see, Thomas Jefferson understood the eternal more than the temporal. Thomas Jefferson understood that there were certain laws that govern the way the universe operates. Thomas Jefferson understood that there is a creator and you are not him. Thomas Jefferson understood that there's a harmony to the universe. Thomas Jefferson understood Montesquieu's spirit of the laws, that all power needs to be put in check, separated among such. Do you know that Thomas Jefferson mentioned God four times in the Declaration of Independence? The four mentions of God are very unique. The supreme judge of the world, is how they finish the mention to God. The creator of the universe, the administer of the laws, and the interpreter. Those are the three branches of government. Thomas Jefferson is teasing the form of government that Madison, Hamilton, and Jay will pick up in the Constitutional Convention in 1787. Jefferson was an architect. He founded a university. Jefferson's theology was a little tricky, but he did believe in a God. He was not a deist. That is not true. More than anything else, Thomas Jefferson was loyal to his nation. Thomas Jefferson wanted what was best for his fellow countrymen. A very complicated relationship with slavery. But it says that all men are created equal. What does that mean? Does it mean that we all have the same skills? That we all have the same talents? That we can all run the same speed? No, all men created equal means we're the same sort of thing. We're the speaking beings, as Aristotle would say. We're the ones that can reason. You see, animals can feel pleasure and pain. Humans can say what is good and what is evil. You know what all human beings have in common? We're all born into a world we didn't create. We are all born into a world with lots of problems that we can't be blamed for. What we can be judged, though, is what did you do with those problems? Thomas Jefferson was born into a world where slavery was everywhere. By the time Thomas Jefferson died on July 4th, 1826, is that right? Fact check me. I think it was July 4th, 1826 he died. Slavery was on the way out. 9 out of 13 of the original colonies had already abolished slavery by the time that Thomas Jefferson died. Was it 1826? I was right. Thomas Jefferson was an American hero. Thomas Jefferson was a gift to the world. And the New York Assembly is taking down a statue. Hey, Turning Point might go buy that statue. We'd prominently display it here at our office. We're going to get more into the pattern of taking down statues. But all of you should be proud and thankful a man like Thomas Jefferson lived. I want you to imagine 100,000 Americans losing their jobs. You can stop imagining because it's a reality. Why? Since 2015, over 100,000 independent farms and ranches in the United States have been shut down. Why? Because foreign meat is stealing their businesses and robbing you of the quality and flavor you deserve. That's why Good Ranchers is here. They exist to support local American farms to help you make great American meals. Together, they want to restore the American ranch and your meals to the former glory. Get beef, chicken, and seafood that cannot be imported or match at GoodRanchers.com. GoodRanchers.com. They love their country. GoodRanchers.com. You can get the best stuff. It's all American. When we use Good Ranchers, they send us a box. When they send us a box to the office, everyone fights over it. People start fainting. There is an arm wrestle competition called the Good Ranchers Arm Wrestle Competition, and Connor won, so he always gets the big stakes. And look, just because it says made in the USA doesn't mean it. It means that maybe China is dumping steak into our country. It's a real thing. Because of labeling laws, foreign imported meat, over 100,000 independent American farms and ranches have closed since 2015. So here's how you can get three important things done. You can get food, you can support American ranchers, and support The Charlie Kirk Show. That's goodranchers.com/Charlie. Everyone listening needs to eat. Everyone wants to support America, and I hope you want to support our program. Good Ranchers is here to put America first at the dinner table and the farmers that work to raise the meat we eat. Go to goodranchers.com/Charlie right now or save $20, or better yet, subscribe and save on each box of mouth-watering American meats that will show up on schedule right to your door. That's right. Get $20 off and free express shipping if you go to goodranchers.com/Charlie or use code Charlie at checkout. That's $20 off and free express shipping at goodranchers.com/Charlie. Someone just asked, is Joe Biden a domestic terrorist? No, we don't throw around that label. Literally, someone just emailed us, Charlie, based on everything he's doing, is he a domestic terrorist? Well, that's what they call everyone they disagree with. Now, just to be very clear, I'm not saying that Joe Biden is totally destroying the country. I'm asking, what would he be doing differently? If someone was trying to destroy the country, what would the decisions they would be making, how would they be different? They'd be doing everything that they would be doing right now, destroying the military, purging the police, purging the firefighters, demoralizing the citizenry, depleting the currency altogether. Okay, let's get to another question here. That's so many good questions of people emailing us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Yeah, these people taking down the Thomas Jefferson statues, they don't know anything about history. And they just do it with no recourse whatsoever. Washington is next. Let me tell you, he's going to be taken down soon. Washington is next. Be ready for it. I do want to play tape. Trump did mention that on the Washington and Jefferson statues. This was actually during the Charlottesville speech, wasn't it? Play cut 110.
Well, no, George Washington was a slave owner. Was George Washington a slave owner? So will George Washington now lose his status? Are we going to take down statues to George Washington? How about Thomas Jefferson? What do you think of Thomas Jefferson? You like him? Okay, good. Are we going to take down the statue? Because he was a major slave owner. Now, are we going to take down his statue? So you know what? It's fine. You're changing history. You're changing culture.
Changing history and changing culture. Trump was far more conservative than I think people ever realized. This is a very important point, is that his instincts were about preserving things that were beautiful, good, and true, and worked. Maybe that was the builder in him. Maybe that was the person who saw things that operated around him. It's like, no, that's actually not the right way to do it. He loved a strong foundation. He understood the need for it. He also just had instincts where he said, yeah, you know what? The country's a beautiful place. Why are you trying to get rid of all these statues? And you didn't have to overthink it. You don't have to be like David French and write some sort of 9,000-word piece and come to some sloppy, haphazardly, cowardly conclusion. Well, now we must teach critical race theory to six-month-olds. Like, no, that's actually a stupid idea. And you don't need to overthink this. It's the difference between wisdom and useless knowledge. Let's go to this question here. Someone says, hey, Charlie, do you think Alec Baldwin is to blame for his recent killing? Well, we don't know enough about it, okay? And I will say Alec Baldwin is actually not a bad actor, but he's a scumbag. He's a garbage person. I don't wish an accidental death upon anyone, the woman or Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin has to go through the rest of his life knowing the torment of killing a person by mistake. Alec Baldwin, though, has been more provocative and more scummy than any other person that I've seen in politics in the last 10 years. Alec Baldwin, if you haven't heard the story, he shot somebody on a movie set, which I don't understand how this is even remotely possible. I feel like there was a movie that where this happened. Maybe it's like deja vu. Alec Baldwin tweeted out, there are no words to convey my shock and sadness regarding the tragic accident that took the life of Helena Hutchins, a wife and mother, deeply admired colleague of ours. I'm fully cooperating with police. Goes on further. How is this possible? Shouldn't you have like no, I'm not like a big into the no gun zones, but if you're filming a movie set, wouldn't that probably be a good chance to do that? I don't wish this upon my enemies, that kind of torment, but Alec Baldwin has not been a nice person. He has been rather nasty, actually. But I don't wish that kind of misery on anybody.
Everybody, look, there are shortages all over the place. We are running out of stuff quickly. It's scary out there. We can't get fish sticks anymore, Sour Patch Kids, toilet paper, diapers. It's not a joke. People are going to suffer because of the malevolence, and some would say the incompetence, of this regime. I'm a prepper. So my wife and I were good, because we know that calamity and chaos, it's coming. In fact, it's already here. With food shortages all across the country, it's a reality. We got to prepare for it. That's why we looked far and wide. We said, hey, on the Charlie Kirk Show, we want to partner with a company that knows how to prepare for you, doesn't rip you off. It's not one of those awful things that is like infomercials. No, these are real people. We know the owners, and they're my Patriot Supply. The smartest thing you could do right now is get a 3-month emergency food kit from my Patriot Supply. I have vetted them. I have boxes of their stuff at our home, because when things start to fall apart, we're going to be well fed at our home, because we know that we have my Patriot Supply. You could save $100 right now on their 3-month emergency food kit, just in time before all the panic. Literally, Pete Buttigieg is coming out and he's saying things are running out. Good luck. It'll be like Hunger Games, Lord of the Flies. But if you take advantage of my offer right now, you'll be well fed. You get 3 months' worth of breakfast, lunch, dinner, drinks, and snacks over 2,000 calories a day. And since you're saving $100 per kit, get one for each member of your family. It's the best investment because I know you know deep down, things might end up looking like a third world country sometime soon. It's not good. But I'm able to offer you something with preparewithkirk.com, a wide variety of delicious foods. You won't get bored. So go to preparewithkirk.com. Save $100 per three-month kit, and you can't beat this price. Order now with preparewithkirk.com, and your food will ship fast. It arrives in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Save $100 on a three-month emergency food kit today. Again, things are falling apart. Make sure you could feed your family. It's super easy. It also supports our show. So you kill two birds, one stone. Prepare for the chaos that's already here, and it's going to get worse, unfortunately. And also support our show. Preparewithkirk.com. Here's this question. Hey, Charlie, I read a story of a Turning Point USA student being threatened with arrest because she was unvaccinated. What's the story behind that? I sat down with Gabby Reichert from Colorado State University. This is an incredible story of a student being threatened with arrest while she was at Colorado State. Listen to this conversation and email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Listen. Hey, everybody. We are here with Gabby Reichert. I say that okay?
Mm-hmm.
From Colorado State University. You've been the center of this medical tyranny Gestapo that's been happening at Colorado State University in Fort Collins, Colorado. What's been going on with you?
Yeah, well, to kind of start from the beginning of everything, last year when nobody was vaccinated, they really weren't doing this. And I think it's important to note that they were wanting us to test and they were getting emails about testing, and I proceeded to ignore them and I went about my year just fine. I never came to school sick with anything at all. And so coming back this year, my plan was to proceed to ignore the school, and I did accept liability for COVID if, God forbid, I died or something and I like wouldn't blame the school. I got exempted from it because Colorado, you know, they don't ask questions about your medical exemptions or your religious exemptions. But then if you're not vaccinated, they want you to test not once a week, but twice a week now.
So they were forcing vaccines on the students, but they could let you be exempt. Is that right?
Yes. So when once you're exempt, then you're supposed to test twice a week to like prove your health to come to school, which is stupid because you can come to school with anything else once it's not COVID. There's a lot of gross things going around campus right
now.
Yeah.
So are you? So have you had COVID before, or you don't know if you have? Or...
I did, but I was not in school at the time. It was over a break.
But you have the antibodies. Do they test for STDs at Colorado State?
I think they give free testing somewhere at the health center, but
I'm being facetious.
Yeah, I know.
They were going to test for something. Continue. You said there's some disgusting stuff going around campus that isn't the Fauci virus.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Like once you don't have COVID, you can go back to campus. People go back to parties and whatever. And I think that's how it should be. It used to be when you're in college, you kind of go and you get each other sick and you get better and you get over it, kind of like flu season. And that used to be a thing when I'm actually in the dance program. So when you talk about majors that don't matter for jobs that don't exist, I learned a whole lot about that. And most of our program was out one fall because we were all so, so sick. We couldn't perform. We couldn't travel or anything. And everything has changed so much when anyone who was even slightly – even if professors or students who are vaccinated get exposed somehow through contact tracing or stuff like that, they still have to quarantine even if they're vaccinated.
So this made national news. What in particular caught everyone's attention?
I think the trespass order for sure is what caught everyone's attention.
What is that? Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So I proceeded to ignore the school for several weeks this semester, and they sent my name to student conduct, student – resolution services or whatever, and they're like, I proceeded to ignore them for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they're like, well, now you're trespassed from campus, and if we find you on university property, you may be subject to arrest or criminal citation or something like that. It's in the letter that's on the internet, which I really, really want viewers to know that CSUPD is not the enemy here. They're not going to arrest anybody. CSUPD does not want this. They have been awesome to work with for our events when we did Culture War and Dennis Prager and stuff like that since the time that Isabel was president. They've been really awesome. They don't want this. I had a meeting, a completely unrelated meeting for event planning with someone higher up in CSUPD and their events coordinator. And we sat down. It was me and Lacey and my vice president. And he was like, are you Gabby? And I'm like, it was the day after the Fox News hit. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, he was like, I saw you on Fox News. That's pretty cool. Like, they don't want this. CSUPD responds to us very quickly.
But what is it they don't want? So talk about the trespass order in particular.
I don't know, because the school, like, they don't – the school does not want the press. They don't want to deal with this. They don't want it.
Well, what are the details of the trespass order?
just that if we're found on university property, we might...
As being unvaccinated.
Because we're not testing, because we're not vaccinated.
So you have to comply to twice a week testing?
Yes.
And the failure to do so, you could be arrested?
Yes. Not because we're vaccinated, but only vaccinated students can possibly get arrested for trespassing.
Only unvaccinated students?
Yes, unvaccinated students.
Okay. So what percentage of your friends at Colorado State do you think are unvaccinated?
I don't know about my friends. I think we have, you know, both as far as the conservative circles on campus. Some of them are, you know, in medical studies, which they have no chance of not being vaccinated.
Yeah.
But I think I heard that campus is like 86% vaccinated or something like that, something well over herd immunity.
Yeah.
So whether it's professors or students or both, our numbers are very good. Our COVID numbers are very low that are reported of cases. And they don't specify if that's vaccinated or unvaccinated at all. They just say our numbers are incredibly low. So I don't know. I heard through the grapevine that they're telling the students running the testing centers to look for new jobs soon. And if that's true, you might be in a good place.
So what was the feedback then as soon as you find out you could be arrested by the place you pay them to go to school?
Right, of course. Well, my first thought is that, you know, any citizen can just come walking through campus. It's public property. Guest speakers can come to campus. They don't have to disclose their records. Illegal immigrants who are students here don't have to show their papers to come to school here. But I have to prove my health twice a week to be on the campus that I'm paying tuition for.
For a virus you've already had.
And that I've never come to school with.
And so therefore you have to subject yourself to the erroneous testing. Now, do vaccinated students have to get tested?
No, they don't have to get tested, but
they can still be super spreaders.
Yeah, they could still get COVID. Yeah. They could still unknowingly give it to someone, apparently. And another crazy part of all this that I haven't gotten to in other media stuff yet is that the way they're doing testing is not HIPAA compliant whatsoever.
So talk about
that. There's no way for students, not that I've done this once, but students who go and do testing are, you know, the best they can do for privacy spaces. It's outside in the open air. I kid you not, there's hula hoops on the ground, plastic hula hoops on the ground, spread out maybe like not even 6 feet apart, while people are doing their saliva screenings, and then they drop it off on a table and they leave. It's outside. It's in the middle of the parking lot, outside of the stadium. And then there's one right by the plaza. So there's kind of like a unit blocking it off, but you walk around it and it's right there. So they're not hiding who's unvaccinated. Very well.
Is that kind of like a mark of like
shame?
Talk about that.
Shame. Not that I've done this once, but it seems so like something that really ostracizes students who like, you know, have to kind of sneak behind like the storage unit. And, you know, if you're at the one across campus, it's just you do the test, you leave your vial and you walk away.
So they make you be subjected to all these other measures if you decide not to take this vaccine.
Right. Exactly.
So but just kind of socially, the term being like unvaccinated, is that something that people look down on at Colorado State?
I don't know. I've received a lot of support from students, professors, otherwise about like, you know, whether you're vaccinated or not, this is really stupid. They shouldn't be doing this. But like, I shouldn't have had to come out on national media to tell the world that I'm unvaccinated and that students like me are dealing with this. I'm not the only one by any means. It should have always stayed my business for X, Y, and Z reasons, but this is important and I'm not the only student who's dealing with this, and we're not going to put up with that.
And the trespass order was the line that...
Not really the trespass order. Honestly, for me, it was the registration hold because that's really annoying and I have to get it lifted.
What do you mean by that?
So I got my trespass order and then I ignored that because I knew CSUPD was not going to come, you know, find me while I was tabling. They know our class schedule. They could have come and got us all at once if they really wanted to. And that's how I knew they weren't going to. And so for me, it was the registration hold on my account because now I can't register for my classes for next semester.
Oh, really? Because you're not complying with testing?
Yeah, because I'm not complying or with a trespass order.
But you're paying to go to school here.
Yeah, I'm paying to go to school here.
Okay.
Yeah. So people can walk on and off campus all the time. They can be on the plaza where we table.
So how do you get that registration hold lifted?
So what's been successful for students and what I need to do like right after this is email the director of like the Student Resolution Center or something like that. And they say, I'm not comfortable with the potential mishandling of my medical information and there's no way for us to be religiously exempted from testing and there should be. And I would like to have
this
resolved.
But you've already had this though. I mean,
they don't care. They don't care.
Yeah, they don't, of course,
no.
Why wouldn't they?
No, they don't care. And that's been successful. So I'm going to email him and I recommend that any professor or student or faculty or staff at CSU emails Mike Katz.
So do you think most people get vaccinated out of fear or out of pressure? What do you think?
I think for my age group, and
They're not at risk at all from dying from this.
No, they're not. And especially, like, think about 18, 19-year-old students who are fresh out of their parents' house, who are, God forbid, they came from across the country to go to school there, and all they're hearing is get vaccinated, get vaccinated, get vaccinated, or test twice a week, or you'll get arrested. They're like, well, shoot, I'll just get vaccinated.
Well, I thought young people are supposed to be, like, rebellious and fighters, like, that's what we always deal with, right? They're always protesting us.
I know. And you know, I have a great chapter of a bunch of students who are standing with me and a really,
really... Turning Point chapter.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, absolutely. We're doing really good work. And they've... Honestly, I wasn't even the first person to email Mike Katz. It was a chapter member of mine. And
oh, wow.
That was really, really brave of her.
And would you say that this is something that, you know, the Turning Point groups, you know, it's an act of courage to kind of speak out against this stuff? Would you say that?
I think so. I think, and you know, even among the leaders of my team, who are just awesome, by the way, is you really kind of bear with each other and stuff like this. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think people understand how much time it takes away from school, how much time it takes away from the college experience I'm trying to have post COVID. You know, the social life I'm trying to have, the sleep I'm trying to get, the food I'm trying to eat, like that is, it really takes a toll on you. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have to be, you know, going and talking on Fox News about how everyone in the nation knows I'm not vaccinated and this is what we're dealing with on the back end of
it.
And
it's no one's business.
No, it's nobody's business. And there are some of us who are vaccinated and who aren't. But there's, you know, across political ideologies on campus, they really think this is stupid. But nobody was brave enough to tell them, no, I'm not going to do this.
Of course. And well, you're brave enough to do it.
Thank you.
You said you've received support from
yes.
that. What's your message to other students and parents? So this is, you know, parents are going to be listening to this all across the country and their kids have to be subjected to this Gestapo medical tyranny. What have you learned from this?
Is that a solution might be closer than you think. By just emailing the director of the Student Resolution Center who said that we would have hearings, who said that we were trespassed, who put the holds on our account of saying, no, I'm not going to do this. And it's in the agreement for testing that, like, there may be issues with medical privacy if you read the fine print. Is like, I don't feel comfortable with this. I should be able to be religiously exempted from this, which is true. And I don't know how HIPAA compliant the testing even is. Once you bring all of that up and God forbid you tell them I'm seeking legal counsel on this, he's like, all right, everything's lifted. You're good to go.
That quickly.
Yes.
What? So other students were in your same boat and mm-hmm. you advocated for them.
Absolutely.
And so there's still 14% of the students at Colorado State, according to your math, that weren't vaccinated. Is Colorado State a rather liberal school?
I'd say we're about 50-50. We are an agricultural school. We have really good vet programs and really good equine science programs. So you get like the broke back country students, mm-hmm. but they do not like to engage in campus life. You really get the left center, center of left students on main campus every day who dominate the culture. And our administration absolutely is left leaning.
That woman still running the school? Yeah.
Oh my God. I saw her at the grocery store the other day and she was kind of eyeing me and I was like,
yeah. Yeah, she's awful. She called us. She slandered Turning Point.
Well, she created the pandemic preparedness team that is working with the Student Resolution Center to create these trespass orders. She hasn't said anything.
Well, no, I mean that, but they're authoritarian tyrants. And I just want to reiterate this: you're paying to go to school here.
I am paying to. It's a public university.
Well, they're supposed to work for you, but they don't. Are you from Colorado originally?
Yes, I wanted to be home for college. I wanted to be near my family, and I'm so close to being done.
What does your family make of all this?
I think it's a lot for all of us. My dad is 25 some years of Denver PD, and they're just over the moon. My mom is
they're
listening to this right now.
Similar, right?
Yeah. It's my dad is fighting the vaccine at work also, but when push comes to shove, he's like, "This is how I'm supporting my family, and if they make me do it, we'll just see how it goes." So there's a lot going on. This they're losing cops left and right in Denver County.
Yes, and it's becoming a much more dangerous place to live.
Yeah,
and to be.
Yeah.
And it's all to try to push a leaky vaccine that has highly questionable results, not to mention all the adverse events and effects for people that have already had the virus.
I know. And Colorado is such a beautiful red state. And I loved kind of like the heartland of the nation. And I loved growing up there. And I'm just so, so heartbroken over what's been going on there.
So Gabby Reichert, so last thing as we kind of finish this up, what's your message then to just all people out there that are saying, I don't know if I want to speak out? Is it worth it?
It's absolutely worth it. Find the network. Find the chapter. If you don't have a chapter, find that group on your campus. Yale's been really great for us to work with stuff like that. And take the first step of telling them directly, I don't feel comfortable. No, I'm not going to do this. Because that might be more of a solution than you think it is. And, you know, things start snowballing from there. It gets attention. You get mm-hmm. resources. There's people who want to help you. And it's a long process and it takes a lot out of you. But these are the, you know, I have degrees in things that don't matter at a school that doesn't like me. So this is really important.
Well, at least you got a degree in courage. Gabby.
Thank you.
Keep fighting. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much.
Internet privacy is extremely important. New news out shows that Google has been colluding with the federal government to hand over your data if you might have searched something wrong into the search bar. So what are you doing to protect your search history? Well, this is why you need ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like going to the bathroom and not closing the door. It's in fact even worse than that. It's inviting someone into the bathroom, which is really weird and creepy. Internet service providers know every single website you visit. ISPs can sell this data and information to ad companies and tech giants who then use your data to target you. ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so your online activity cannot be seen by anyone. It's as easy as closing the bathroom door and fire up the app and click one button. I use it on all my devices. Every device, I have those beautiful three letters, VPN with a rectangle around it. It's rated number one by CNET and TechRadar. Here's the cool thing. It works on phones, laptops, and even routers. So everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. Here's the thing. I have it on my iPhone. I have it on my iPad. I have it on my computer. ExpressVPN for me has been a game changer to be able to know that the tech companies or the government, they have to go through a whole nother barrier to try to spy on us. When we see with the new announcements out of D.C., if you spoke at a school board meeting lately, you better get a VPN. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/Charlie today. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie. It's extremely important to anonymize your online activity. expressvpn.com/Charlie. Let's get to this one about other treatments. I touched on the story yesterday. I want to kind of zero in on this, which is the story of the Nebraska Attorney General, which I think is a positive story on how we are able to effectively fight back against this medical tyranny. So the Attorney General of Nebraska has now said, why are we not allowing early treatments when it comes to the Fauci virus? Now, it's very important that we understand, and Daniel Horowitz said this on our podcast with one of the most amazing interviews we've ever had. This is a pandemic of the untreated, not a pandemic of the unvaccinated. It's a pandemic of the untreated. And so the Nebraska Attorney General has come out and he has said that we are going to allow people to get ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and he is getting attacked from every direction imaginable. You might say, why does the Attorney General need to get involved in that? Well, because the Attorney General is now saying that people will not be prosecuted as pharmacists for writing these scripts. Also breaking today, Harvard scientist has come out and he has said there is no discernible relationship between high vaccination rates and fewer infections. The Harvard scientist looked at 68 different countries and 3,000 U.S. counties. 3,000 U.S. counties. This is the new Harvard site, a new article. We'll put this on charliekirk.com. So for those of you that are losing your jobs because you have to get vaccinated, you should look at this and say, oh, there's no discernible relationship between high vaccination rates and fewer infections. Cynthia here is asking from Michigan, Charlie, I'm about to lose my job. What do I say? Should I just get the vaccine? What do I do? Look, I'm not going to give you specific advice on exactly what to do. I will say, though, that you look at what's happened in the United Kingdom, in Singapore, in Israel, many of these other states, you are realizing that the higher the vaccination rate, sometimes you might have a leaky vaccine. The Harvard Journal is not getting much coverage at all. But also now you have Ron Johnson coming out, a U.S. senator, who said that the vaccine has caused 16,766 deaths in 10 months. This is Senator Ron Johnson. So now you have the Nebraska Attorney General and then the Louisiana Attorney General, who's a friend of mine, Jeff Landry, coming out and they're saying we have to allow people to get ivermectin. We have to stand against mandates. This is a growing theme in Profiles in Courage. And that's actually a book that JFK wrote.
He won a Pulitzer. He actually didn't write it. He was ghost wrote it, but his name was on it. And we need to have more people step up with courage like Ron Johnson, like the Attorney General of Nebraska. And we are getting tons of emails, freedom@charliekirk.com, of people in North Dakota, of what's happening in North Dakota right now, of people that have spoke out. They're losing their jobs, of the North Dakota Public Health Department covering up vaccinated versus unvaccinated. This is unacceptable. Because in reality, you're looking at who's actually dying in some of these states. It's more vaccinated than unvaccinated for an ever diminishing, depleting vaccine. When I got coffee this morning, there were four men sitting around the table, and they were talking about all their booster shots that they got. And one of them said, "Why do we have to keep on getting booster shots?" The other one said, "Oh, that's okay. I'll just keep getting a booster shot every 6 months." Don't you understand the scam and the game that's being played here? This is a pandemic of the untreated. If you come in full force early, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, vitamin D, monoclonal antibodies, get some rest. Aspirin, by the way, and there's a new war on aspirin, not to mention a steroid. The numbers show that not only can we turn the corner on this and it'd be lifted, but the people that get those kind of early treatments, every single study shows a phenomenal, overwhelming response from that. So why are they not doing it? It's so simple. Power and profits. It's that simple. Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson do not want you to know about the early treatments. They don't. They want to make as much money from you as possible. It's time for us to break the matrix. You could take the blue pill or the red pill. The blue pill is the Pfizer pill. Keep on getting your booster shots. Stay masked forever. You want to live free? Take the red pill. Go research ivermectin. Go research hydroxychloroquine. Early treatments are so important. And for people that are standing up and stepping up and allowing it to happen, they deserve credit. Attorney General of Nebraska, Attorney General of Louisiana, and Ron DeSantis as well has been unbelievable against vaccine mandates. Why do we not have every Republican standing up for that? Answer, they're bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical companies. Solution, get rid of them. We need courageous people that can stand up against these companies and stand for their citizens, because the current treatments are actually doing a lot of damage. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.